Nehemiah chapter 4. As I said, I want to look at verses 16 to 23. But perhaps we could read verse 17. In verse 17 we read, "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his own hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." A group of eager job applicants were sitting in the waiting room one day as they had all applied for a job as a wireless operator. As they were waiting, you know why the way it is, you're waiting to be called, you're waiting for your name to be read out. And as they were waiting, they were enjoying themselves and they were all talking amongst themselves. However, they failed to listen to sounds of dots and dashes which began to play over the loudspeaker in the waiting room. Suddenly, one of the applicants jumped from their seat and rushed straight into the employer's office. As he walked out the door, he looked at all of the other applicants and with a huge grin on his face, he stated, "I got it." One of the other applicants said, "How did you get in ahead of us?" To which the new recruit replied, "If you hadn't been so busy talking, you would have heard the manager's coded message, and then you might have been considered." The coded message from the manager that rang from the radio, it was this: "The man I need must always be on alert. The first one who interprets this and comes directly into my office will be hired on the spot." And you know, if you were to survey the mood in the camp from Nehemiah chapter 2 to this juncture here in chapter 4, it would be an entirely different one. You think of chapter 2, you think of the children of Judah. Nehemiah has just landed there in Jerusalem, and he has laid out the building plans for the walls of Jerusalem. If you were part of that building team, part of that building squad, you would have been filled with wonder, with curiosity, with excitement at the task that lay before you. But now we're in chapter 4, and perhaps 3 or 4 weeks into this expansive building project, the wall was half completed in and around Jerusalem, but we find Jerusalem was on a state now of lockdown. Oh, the builders, they had finished half the wall. They had began to fortify the towers. They had began to work on the other buildings around the wall. But now the builders, they were in a state of emergency, a state of readiness, a state of red alert. In the first 6 verses, you remember how we saw that they repelled the verbal attack of the enemy as they were building. As they had built the first half of the wall, the enemy came, they slandered the servants of God as they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Then we saw a few weeks ago that whenever they got back on the wall, as it were, and continued to rebuild the wall, the enemy, they didn't like it. And in verse 8 we read, "They conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." The verbal attacks, they didn't work. And so the enemy, they came together, they conspired together, and we find that they tried to again to physically stop the work of God. And now we find that Jerusalem, because the enemy is increasing, the enemy is gathering strength, Jerusalem, as I have said, is now in a state of lockdown. Nehemiah, he's got all of his workers there on red alert. Verse 17 we read, "That everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand they held a weapon." And as they were building now the wall of Jerusalem, you find they were now in a state of readiness. And as they were building, they had a trowel in one hand, but they also had a sword in the other. You see, as they were busy in the rebuilding work of the Lord, they were always ready, constantly prepared for the attack of the enemy. And whilst the Christian life is one of busyness, it is also one of battles. Often you'll find yourself in a situation just like the children of Judah. Often you'll find yourself with a trowel in one hand, but a sword and spear in the other. Often you'll have to live life on constant red alert. Often you'll be busy. Often you will be busy in the work of God, busy perhaps in your workplace, busy helping, busy healing, busy helping out at home. And yet all the while you will have to be in your guard. You see, as we are busy, as we are busy serving Jesus Christ, we will always face a battle. We will always have to have the trowel in one hand and the sword or the spear in the other. And this is the situation we now face. We now face as the children of Judah, as they're now still on the wall, still rebuilding, but they're now awaiting the attack of the enemy. And that's what I want to consider with you this morning. Awaiting the attack of the enemy. Notice firstly here, their preparation. Their preparation. Verse 17, we read, "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." Now we can't take these words literally. If the children of Judah, a builder for example, if they had an implement for building in one hand and a sword or a spear in the other, well, they wouldn't have physically been able to have do anything. It was a figure of speech. You know the way sometimes you meet someone in the street and you say to them, "Oh, your hands are full. You have your hands full in all that you're doing." Well, that's the idea here. The children of Judah, they had their hands full in all that they had to do. It seems they were constantly on red alert should the enemy attack. We read here of the builders who were carrying burdens. The word burden here, it just refers to a load of some kind. And whether they were builders or whether they were carrying, whether they were laborers, whether they were just helping along in the work, it seems that it didn't matter your job. Everybody was constantly ready for the attack of the enemy. Verse 18 emphasizes this for us, where we read, "Everyone had a sword girded by his side." And as they were trying to build or trying to fight off the enemy, it seems that they had a little sword girded by their side just in case the enemy would attack suddenly. Again, verse 23, it emphasizes this constant state of red alert. Where we read, Nehemiah speaking here, and he said, "Neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes." You think of it even today. Is it not the custom after a hard day's work, and then it gets late at night, you take off your work clothes, you get into your clothes for sleeping in, you change your clothes? Well, Nehemiah, he said that they were on constant red alert in the sense that they didn't even change their clothes except for washing. They were constantly ready, constantly prepared, constantly awaiting the attack of the enemy. And whilst the Christian life is one of exertion, it must also be one of preparation. Oh yes, you'll be busy. Yes, you will be laboring. You will have things to do. You will have things to attend to. But the Christian life is a constant one of exertion and also preparation. You see, it's often as we're busy, it's often as you're so busy in the work, then the adversary comes and he attacks you very, very suddenly. And so you need to be ready. Like the children of Judah, you need to be ready. Ready should the enemy of souls, the devil himself, you need to be ready should he attack at any moment. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read in verse 8 of the devil being as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And because of this, what does Peter say to the believers in the first part of that verse? He tells them, be sober, be vigilant. And of course, the word vigilant there, it comes from a root verb meaning to be awake or to be alert. And Peter here, he reminded the believers that because the devil was roaming about, because the devil was roaring throughout this world, throughout this earth, so we need to be constantly alert because he could attack us at any moment. You see, whilst the Christian life is one of diligence, it is also one of vigilance. You are to be awake, to be alert, to be ready for the attack of the enemy. Oh, child of God, are you busy? You busy about the Master's business today? Are you serving him? Are you, as it were, have your hands full? Well, that's exactly the moment when the enemy will come, when the enemy will attack. Yes, sometimes he attacks you whenever you're not busy, but there are other times when he attacks you and you are very busy. And so you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You know, as I was preparing this, I thought this week about a notion that I had as a young lad. Whenever I was 17, 18, I was praying about the Lord's will. And I thought for a while it was the Lord's will for me to be in the army. I thought I would test the waters myself. And so I subjected myself to a week in Ballykindler in the army camp there. And I thought about this, and I thought about what we were asked to do on the Wednesday night of that camp. We were asked as a squad to come together and to take this little village where there was a dummy enemy set up. But in order to take this village, we had to go through this mountaintop, or this valley. There were a mountain on this side, mountain on this side, and of course we were walking through the valley in the middle. And as we walked through the valley, we looked to the left and there were lots of trees, and the enemy could have attacked us at any stage. And then we looked to the right and there were lots of shrubs, and again the enemy could have attacked us at any stage. And whilst we were on the offensive, we also had to be on the defensive. And so it is often in the Christian life. It's when we're on the offensive that we also have to be on the defensive. We have to always have our guard up, have to be ready should the enemy attack. Their preparation. Notice secondly here, as they awaited the attack of the enemy, their conviction. Verse 20 we read, "In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." And reading of verse 19 tells us that the wall had now reached a great size. And because the wall was now getting very big, the workers, they were separated by a great distance. Verse 19 we read, "We are separated upon the wall, one far from another." Because they were far from each other, they had to devise a scheme whereby if the enemy came, they would all be ready for his attack. So Nehemiah in verse 20, he speaks there of the sound of the trumpet. And what he did very simply was, he got a person beside him. And so if the enemy came and the enemy attacked, then this individual would blow a trumpet and they would meet at a rallying point. And Nehemiah went on to explain why he responded like this. It was because he had a conviction that no matter how strong the enemy, no matter what their plans were, no matter what their schemes were, no matter what the enemy would do, no matter what we would face, our God shall fight for us. You see, Nehemiah believed that it was God's will to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so his overriding conviction was this. Look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing, should they even take us suddenly. It doesn't matter about that, because the Lord will fight the battle for us. And whilst the attack of the enemy is vicious, the Christian is always victorious. The Christian will always experience victory. Why? Because the Lord fights for us. Oh, child of God, are you facing a battle? And you're wondering maybe the outcome of that battle. Maybe you're facing trials, difficulties, tribulations, and you wonder, what is the outcome going to be of the battle? Well, my friend, I've got good news for you. You can take this as encouragement. You can say, as the children of Judah said, our God will fight for us. You can take that as a personal promise, and you can enter the battle that you face knowing that the Lord is always on your side. Now, why is the Lord always on the side of the Christian? Even though at times it doesn't seem it, why is the Lord always on your side if you're a believer? Well, it's because you're part of his family. You're part of the family of Christ. You've been bought by his blood. You've been brought into union with him. You've been brought into covenant relationship with him. And so you can stand into the victory that was purchased for you by Jesus Christ. Oh, you will always be victorious because you can stand into the victory that Jesus Christ has purchased for you at the cross. You know, Joshua, he was facing many, many battles as you read through the book of Joshua. And whenever he had conquered city after city, you then find in Joshua chapter 10, There was a confederacy of kings came together. Different kings from different cities, they came together and they wanted to fight against the Israelites and also the Gibeonites who had joined forces with the Israelites. And in Joshua 10, verse 42, we read, "All these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time." Why? Because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And we find that although they came together and they all fight against Israel, or fought against Israel at one time, Joshua, he experienced victory. Why? Because God fought for Israel. You see, in the battle, the Lord doesn't forget you. He fights for you. And when you encounter the attack of the enemy, be assured of this, believer. The Lord's on your side. Whatever trial you face, whatever battle you face, maybe you feel as if you're fighting many battles on many, many different fronts. You have the trowel in one hand, the spear in the other. You're wondering the outcome. Well, rest assured that you will experience victory. The Lord's fighting for you. The Lord's on your side. You know, in the world of professional wrestling, there are many different types of matches. There are the more traditional one-on-one fights, but there are also what's called a tag team match. And it means that whenever you're fighting an individual, they have a helper and you also have a helper. It is a two-on-two. But there will only ever be one fighting in the ring. And whenever you get tired, or maybe you take one blow too many, you can tap the hand of your teammate. And that teammate, he actually, legally now, he joins the ring and he literally fights in your place. And so it is in the ring with Satan. You have Jesus Christ. As you're in the ring with Satan, getting buffeting after buffeting, and experiencing beating after beating, you have Christ. He is your advocate. He is your surety. And so he legally represents you in heaven. Oh, as you fight, remember this, that you have Christ. Christ as your surety. And he's fighting for you. He's fighting the battle for you. Their preparation, their conviction. Notice thirdly here, their unison. Verses 21 and 22 we read, "So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appears. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us." In order to be ready for the attack of the enemy, Nehemiah, he had the people work together. While some were building, you find others, they were holding the spears from dawn till dusk, and they were literally protecting those that were building. You remember in chapter 3, you saw how workers came from different parts of Israel. They all didn't just live within the confines of Jerusalem. No, you find they came from far off. Some traveled many, many miles to help in this work. And so Nehemiah, he asked these people who had traveled now many miles, he told them to stay within the walls, to live within the confines of the walls for a short time, so that it meant that whilst some were working, others were watching. And if we are to know victory over the enemy, we must fight together, not separately. If we fight united, we will know victory in our stand for Christ. Now, I know that at times that can be difficult. You all have separate lives. You all face separate difficulties. You all face separate issues, separate trials, things you will face that perhaps another family will not. But in our stand, our general stand for Christ, our general stand for truth, for righteousness, we are to be united in our stand. Christ makes this point very, very clear in Mark's Gospel. And in Mark 3, verse 25, he states there, "If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." And here he simply says that if there's a family, that's what the word house means there. It means family. If there's a family and it's divided, then that family will not stand. And in our stand as a church against the enemy, we are to be united, not divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Oh, the Lord here is telling us, as we face the attacks of the enemy, that we are to fight together. It is ultimately that one attack, that one assault that we face from Satan, face from the enemy of the soul. And so we are to stand together, united for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, in a house there was a father, and he had four young strapping sons, and they were all arguing. And so he got them together to try and sort it out. He got the oldest one. The oldest one was strong, the strongest. And he asked him to break a stick. And he took and he broke that stick, no problem. Then he asked him to break two. And so he broke two, no problem. He asked him to break three, to break four, to break five. Again, that young lad, he broke five sticks, no problem. But then he came to the sixth and the seventh. He was starting to grow a little bit tired. Eventually, as it came to the eighth, he couldn't break the sticks any longer. Turning then to the rest of his boys, he said, "Unity is strength. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Anyone can overthrow you one by one. But stand together in unity, and your united strength will give second thoughts to your enemies." And if we stand together united, it will give second thoughts to our enemy. Oh, we're much stronger as we fight the battle together. Their preparation, their conviction, their unison. Notice lastly here, their exertion. Verses 21 and 22, we read, "Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day." The description of this labor, it shows really how hard they worked in order to progress the work. We're told here that from the rising of the sun to the falling of the stars, they were still laboring. They labored night and day. They even took turns. Whilst one was it were, using the trowel, building, the other was holding a spear. And then they would have taken shifts and they would have changed jobs. Verse 23 tells us that they were laboring so hard that they only came home to wash, barely taking time to change their clothes. And Nehemiah was right in the forefront of it all. He stated, "Neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes." And as they were laboring, they gave their all to see the work consolidated as well as the work progressing. And if we're to overcome the enemy, it will require maximum effort, not minimal effort. In light of the opposition that you face, it will require a doubling of your efforts for the cause of Christ. Oh, you think of the enemy. You think of the enemy that you face. Think of Satan. Does that not mean that when you think of the strength of the enemy, that we need to, as it were, double our efforts to make sure the work is consolidated and to make sure the work, it progresses, that it goes forward? Oh, the Lord's telling us to, as it were, give our all for the cause of Christ. In Malachi 1, the verse 7 reads, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, Wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, The table of the Lord is contemptible." And here, Malachi was speaking about the meal offering. What was happening? Well, very simply, priests were taking old moldy bread instead of taking lovely new baked bread, and they were placing it there upon the altar. And Malachi, he condemned them for serving the Lord half-heartedly. And rather than serve the Lord half-heartedly, you're to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Oh, like the children of Judah, putting your all into it, laboring, as it were, from night till day, from dawn till dusk. You're to give him your efforts, your exertions, your everything. What an interesting picture here. Fighting the battle on the one hand and awaiting the attack of the enemy on the other. I trust that God will bless his word to your hearts and lives. today.